Street.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your waist in it now. Till your body rotates. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that,
the hip locker.
Go down, go down, go down. Come
yeah,
up.
So come Roddy up. Collins is still here. Someone said that we can't get rid of him. Someone said we're not letting him live. I'm not going to be the one to answer that question. So we're going to do a few listener questions, Roddy, if that's all right.
And you want. And I don't want to leave.
These are a little
I
bit.
I want to stay wherever.
They're more normal than the last ones. So McGinty has a question in.
Do you know McGinty? Did you ever meet him?
McGinty's go.
Arthur
no.
McGinty.
No. Who's he?
He sends questions in all the time, Roddy, but every time he sends a question in, Terrence intros his question by going, McGinty. Yeah. Because you're Terrence. Yeah, go on, give us
McGinty's
your best one.
McGinty's goat, we'll call him.
Yeah, but give us a McGinty.
A McGinty.
Yeah, that's here our bad go. One. That's good.
Is that a good one, is
yeah,
it? Is
yeah.
that a Michael Buffer one?
Yeah, that's what
and
I was
in the blue corner, McGinty.
Have you ever met him?
Yeah.
Have you, actually, yeah. Did you ever see his brother does the UFC
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I never met his brother, but Caroline's biggest fan, she loves him.
Yeah.
Thinks he's brilliant, you know, 70-odd.
What the fucking fortune.
Ah, he is. He's painting that.
Yeah, let's get ready to rumble.
No one else can do that.
Yeah, his voice is insured for millions.
Yeah, yeah.
So what way is that work? If he's a bit harsh, he gets a few million quid, is it?
I don't know. Jay's having a clue.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
This fella does the, do you know when there's a big fight?
Yeah.
He intros the boxers. Let's get ready to rumble.
Oh,
that's
right.
Michael
yeah,
Buffer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't know this. So the fella who does that for the UFC is Bruce Buffer.
Yeah.
And they didn't know until they were adults that they were brothers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
They didn't grow up together.
And they both ended up in,
and they're both in the same profession.
Job.
You know,
Bruce, who does the UFC, is Michael's manager. His
right.
agent, he gets him all the gigs, you know, the side gigs.
Yeah.
So we had the two of them now,
see, the fella that does the darts.
Yeah.
For.
He's retired now.
The fella does the darts, 180, yeah. All that, right? But he was a taxi driver.
Yeah.
Barry Hearn got into the taxi. Back in the day, right? Got taunt and said, Jay's a very distinctive voice. Say this for me and do this for me. He'd done all the boxing for years for Barry Hearn. I met him, he came up to our gym 10 years ago. He said, I was a taxi driver, get to the taxi, and now he's.
He's retired now, the bald fella.
100. Him?
80. I don't know if it's him, but. It's one of them that he's done the boxing for years. Well, it must be the one that took over from him.
Yeah.
But this fella done the boxing for years. When Steve was getting introduced in the ring, this fella done it. But
he mad,
was just
isn't
a,
it?
Yeah.
Mad.
Mad.
Right. McGinty's question is, what's the weirdest gift you've ever received?
Wait, did someone not come in to the podcast with a mad gift before? And I was like, can we even bring them home? I thought someone brought mad stuff in before. Remember someone sent the mask in?
Oh, yeah. Crow mask.
Someone sent the crow mask in before, yeah.
But it was scary. It was like a
I thought a crow mask was going to be a little yogi punny that type of Halloween.
Yeah.
This thing was life size, Roddy, over the head, and you looked like an actual crow. It was a deadly mask.
Brilliant.
But very scary.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Like, what the fuck are we doing with that? That could be up there.
Yeah.
You must have got a load of gifts, Roddy. You know,
no, I'll tell you what.
People.
The maddest gift I ever got, Christmas. I walked in a shop when I was about 12, me and my brother, for Bill Whelan in Animal Wayne, but they was delivering food to people's houses and all that. And at Christmas, he gave us a rifle between the two of us.
What do you mean?
He gave us one rifle between the two of us. He used to sell cowboy suits and all. You know, you buy our suits off Santy. And he gave us one rifle between us. Well, what the fuck? How are we going to play? You know, I mean, I'll shoot you and then you run down, get the rifle, come up and shoot me. He gave us one between us. He wasn't now the most.
Yeah.
I remember he dropped eggs on the floor one day. Right? Tray of eggs and two of them broke on the floor. And he got them and he brought them upstairs and he scrambled them.
Fuck off.
Swear to God, yeah. And I remember walking in the back room where all the bidets were, my little weighing scales, quarter stone bidets, half stone bidets, right? And it was like a little scoop. You don't see them now. And you put the bidets, you put the weights on the thing and you balance it off, scoop it into a little bag, tie it up, right? And there was this press, say like that, straight door like that. And I was always wondering what was in it. There was a little lock, a little thing like that, right? And a lock in it. What's in that? So one day the lock was open. I opened it. And about 4,000 cigarettes came flying out on top of me. And they were packed like, I mean,
so, individual cigarettes?
No.
Packets.
Say Major, Rothmans, the whole lot. So I panicked because I was only a kid. So they think we're going to try to rob them, you know? So we tried to fit them all back in the best we could, as quick as we could, and we couldn't get them all in. And it was cigarettes called Consul, they were peppermint cigarettes. Right, your man Dal know the peppermint cigarettes console, right? So we did. So they went in down the stockings and into the trousers, right? So all the lads in Cabo smoke peppermint cigarettes. But remember that, yeah, that, but he gave us a rival between us for Christmas. A bleeding rival between two of us, you know what I mean?
I got a portrait of JFK for Christmas. Last year.
Oh, no, you?
2 years ago. My dad.
Why?
Excellent question. No idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
He saw on Facebook, some guy selling it on Facebook, drove down to Clare to get it. It was like, wow, perfect. It's in a frame, himself and Jackie. He was like, perfect present for Siobhan.
Brilliant.
And now it hangs in my apartment up here.
Well, there must be a backstory to it. He probably wants to learn or something.
I think he was just like, oh, that's
at least there wasn't a portrait of Donald Duck himself.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. That'd be one to have in your wall, wouldn't it? Yeah. Tell about the crow frightening you.
Yeah.
Imagine waking up looking at his big orange head on the wall.
At least JFK wasn't a bad looking fella back in the day, Siobhan.
It's nice. Now
there you go.
Yeah, people come in and they're like, was that your landlord just like left that? And I was like, no, that's mine. I hung that up.
Big
from
time.
New York. My landlord's from New York. That's why I have the apartment. He's over there now.
Yeah, my apartment kind of looks like an old Irish pub. That's the vibe. Right. I think my dad was trying to help with. I don't know. But yeah. Gary wants to know, are earwigs still around? He says they used to be everywhere in the 80s and 90s, but I haven't seen them in a long time. And then he wants to know, what would you bring back from that era?
Do you know what? You always see earwigs in the washing. Do you ever get them? And you take the washing in and you're folding the clothes and an earwig will follow.
Funny, Calvin, I haven't seen an earwig in a long time.
Yeah.
That's mad. Funny you should say that.
In the washing.
Yeah.
And don't they eat clothes?
An earwig?
Yeah.
No.
They eat clothes. They do.
No, you're talking about the silver fish, silver
no,
something.
No, this is an earwig. Them silver fish, you used to get them in the carpet.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you used to always get them in the carpet. No. Yeah. I remember, see them silver fish. When I think of them, I think of Lord's Flats, because that's where the first time I ever seen one of them.
Yeah.
And trying to kill at me. That was like, it's grand, leave, and it disappeared.
Yeah.
It's like, they're harmless, don't worry about that. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I never worried about them, but it's an insect living in
the
bleeding gaff.
They're really freaking out.
But come here, there's millions of. Look, hold on a minute. There's rats living in your gaff.
Don't you talking about me bored like that?
No, well, stop you. There's mice, there's rodents then living in your gaff.
Yeah, now, do you know what, Roddy? I swear to God, my board's going to listen to this now and she's going to panic when you say that. I always say that to her. Do you know if you hear a noise? Do you know why the gaff so settled?
Yeah.
And she goes, what was that? I'm like, could have been a mouse. Hates him. She's terrified of her life for him. Yeah. I don't think we have any because I can hear everything in that house and I know exactly where the sounds should be coming from. I don't think we have any.
Right.
I think I'd hear one.
Okay. I'm sitting in the house 30 years ago. 30 years ago. And up the stairs, up and down the stairs, right? Sitting there with Caroline and I go, right, kids must be up. Go up. They're all conked out in bed. Right, two at the time. Conked out. Mad. Next of all. We live in an end house, you know. Jesus, that's mad, you know. So that was it. So I'm in bed one night and this was going on for a long time and I was manager of Bowes at the time. They said, you're cracking up with the pressure and all. This is what they were saying to me, right? So next of all, I'm in bed midweek. Next of all, I look up and there's a little girl standing there looking in the door, right? And I go, now this is after hearing the stairs a load of times for months, looking in the door. So she comes across the room. I'm lying there, right? So I grew up out of bed and I reached to put my trousers on and she backs out round the door, right? I put trousers on and I'm thinking, is my youngest child having a sleep off? I just couldn't, it was about 5 minutes, I couldn't get my head around it. Went out, she was sitting at the end of the stairs. Went back in, I said, Carolyn, what's going on? She said nothing, right? Next of all, she was gone, right? So I come back up and Carolyn says, you all right? I say no, because I started thinking, was I cracking up, right? I say, Jays, no, I'm grand. She says, no, are you all right? I say, no, Carolyn, I'm telling you something now. I'm at the scene of a little girl in the house. She says, I saw it as well. Carolyn saw it as well. Now, you know my Carolyn. She's not like, she wouldn't be drama queen or anything like that. I saw it as well. So, went round the priest, blessed the house, blah, 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 blah. About 12 months later, I woke up, a big, tall, bald fella, skinny, another, like a young fella and a little girl.
The same little girl?
At the end of the bed. Yeah. At the end of the bed. Right. And I sat up in the bed and they all went behind the curtain. Never seen them again. Right? That was 30 years ago, whatever. About 7 years ago, my daughter, sleeping over one night, she says, "Dad, I'm at the scene of a man." Now, she didn't know anything about this. "I'm at the scene of a man during the night." I says, "Dad, stop." She says, "Dad, I'm telling you. I'll tell you what I do." I says, "You get a piece of paper, and I'll get a piece of paper, and we both drew the same man." And that's the truth of God. May God take me tonight. That's the truth. That's not a Halloween story. That's the truth. And it was like, when I say he's a real man, he was tall, he was bald. So she just draw a big tall man with no hair. You know, like a matchstick. You know, it wasn't like a portrait of someone. And that was it. And people say, "Were you afraid?" Not a bit. Not a bit. Not a bit. No, if it was a real man in the room, I'd be afraid. "Girl, I'm going to start to email you. There's a baseball bat under the pillow, you hear them, will you?" But no, that's...
Oh, you have goosebumps and all, listen to that.
Yeah, people couldn't believe it, but that's absolute gospel.
How the fuck did we come up with Mary Weeks today?
Because we were saying that there's the rats in the house.
Yeah. Well,
I've big elves living in my house.
I'd rather bleeding rats in my house than a ghost. I really would.
Yeah.
All day. At least you can know how to sort that out. Yeah. So when I wake up and I see a rat, I'm like, "Right, we have to put traps down, kill that fucking thing, sort that, plug
if
holes."
If I woke up and saw a rat, I'd drive.
See a man in your house and you can't touch him and he's just there, I'm petrified. I hate this. See all that. I've said this loads of times on the podcast. If I hear a noise in the gaff, let's say you hear something smashing.
Yeah.
I run downstairs. I want to see a man there. Yeah. Can't see nothing there. And just
right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, that's more scary. Yeah. At least you know, right, there's a fella there. We know what the next plan of action is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You have to confront that.
Of course, yeah.
The gap's haunted, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, it's sorted.
I'm moving back into me mass.
It's sorted.
And I'm sleeping beside her. I'm telling you, I'm not having that. Honestly, Roddy. There's a picture. We moved into the gap last year. There's a picture of Jesus in my attic.
Yeah.
We've had three different tradesmen in. Yeah. Sparks, plumber, and a fella insulating the attic. All three of them says, "Don't touch that."
Yeah.
So there's a picture of Jesus stuck in the attic now. No one touch it.
Oh, is that a bad omen, is it?
I think that's more just like it's bad luck to dump like religious things. Do you know, like if you bought a car and there was rosary beads in it, people would often say, like, don't get rid of
forever
them.
Forever and ever.
That's staying there.
Yeah,
that is staying there forever. Mm. When I die, they're going to be clearing out the attic and be like, "I didn't know your dad was holy."
There you go.
He wasn't, he was a fucking windbag.
There you go. He was terrified of a picture. And you're going to drop an airplane for us, will you?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Just a little more.
Did that say what would you bring back from the 90s?
Yeah, what would you bring back from the 80s or 90s?
Kids don't play out enough.
Out in the street, like?
Yeah, they don't play out enough. And I do see it in my ma's. Now, I do see kids where I live, they do play out a bit, but they don't play out enough, Roddy.
100%.
Enough where your ma has to call you and is going looking for you and is clattering the head off you because you're out too late. There's not enough of that going on. No. And you don't see kids playing heads and volleys in the middle of the road. They're not playing pats. They're not playing chasing. You know all them games. Like, I grew up in the Diamond, Roddy. Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. So I grew up there. We used to have a game called Four Corners. So we used to, from the where the park is in the Diamond there, the corner at Gardner Street to the top of the park, the corner there where Gardner Street meets Summer Hill, that's two corners. And down the other end, that Catlin Shop, and then at the top of Amien Street, there are four corners. Yeah. So you could play chasing with your mates.
Yeah.
Just weren't allowed to leave them four corners.
Yeah.
Now that's a good stretch of blocks.
Yeah.
You'd be bollocksed.
Yeah.
When you were doing the dip, do you ever play games when you're younger? How did you pick who was on? You do a dip.
Yeah.
So we call that the dip. You do the dip, you were praying it, wasn't you? Because you are, you're
chasing
bollocks.
Forever.
You're
bollocks.
So you have to count to give them a head start, and you're never going to catch them. Never going to catch them. Games like that need to go on. So I have an older sister. She is 37 or 38. I think she's 38 because I'm going 32. She'd be 38. And me next, but the next, I have three younger brothers. The next one down 25, then 18 and 16, right?
Yeah.
So us, the three oldest ones, we'd be talking about people in the area.
Yeah.
And the two other ones having a clue.
Having a clue.
And I was like, how are we related? You're like, you're my little brother and you don't know who this fella is and what I'm talking about here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Calvin, you could write a book, right?
Yeah.
And your youngest could write, my brother Pas could write a book totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different memories, different same family, same
we're
upbringing.
We're talking about people that are the same neighbours, Roddy.
Yeah,
they're still the same houses.
Yeah,
and the same families are living there.
Well, you see, it was different back then because we there was nine of us in Carbrand, and there were only tiny little houses, so there was no room in the gaff. So you were out playing.
All of them.
You were playing football, chasing, relievio, and Red Rover, Red Rover. You're all running, batting each other, and all. But it was healthy stuff, and there was no cars around. Now we go through Animo regular, and I swear to God, it's just cars everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't have a game of football on the road. It's gone. It's just cars everywhere, and the families aren't as big as they were when we were kids. Well, when I was a kid, you're years younger than me, but the family were huge. Everybody had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
One family had 16 on our road. One boy. One boy and 15 girls. Yeah, in a two-bedroom house.
My friend, yeah. He's one of 10 and his missus is one of 7. So imagine how many aunties and uncles his like, kids have.
Yeah.
And then cousins they have, you know what I mean? Like, if all your brothers and sisters had one child, how many cousins you have immediately then?
Yeah. You know what else you didn't see many of? Fat kids. Overweight. You didn't, because you were out running around all day. You had to be... My dad went... That was his whistle, distinctive whistle. And you could hear that.
Yeah.
From, say you were up the Diamond, you'd be down at Fowley Street, you'd hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Eat your dinner.
Yeah.
You'd be running out with half the dinner on a lump of batch loaf, gone out again, play football. You know, it was just different. Then you were in the boxing club, then you joined the football team. And every Sunday we played a game of football around Animal Park, and it was 50 pence a head. Everyone put 50 pence in, and if you won, you got a pound. Obviously, it was even Stephen. There's a fella called Johnny Kenneth, and he was a rogue. Johnny was a gas man, he was a rogue. And Johnny collected the money one day, and he beat 18, 17, 18. I was up to 21, and the ace. Sweat me bumping.
And the ace,
You'd be playing for 3 hours, right?
And you used to play football when you're younger, Siobhan. You'd be like 4-5, and someone would score 5, and then someone would shout, one ace.
Yeah.
Like bollocks. So then tomorrow when you play, it's up to 5, no aces.
Yeah.
You'd be like bollocks.
Well, I remember one time we played about 3 hours. I was 21, 20, 20, and you had to win by 2. Blah, 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 blah. And Johnny Kenneth was at the collecting the money at the start. We were all, bitch, game over. Johnny was gone. A few flagons of cider. He was down drinking flagons somewhere. And that swine with the money. 50 pence was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
That was a night's wages. I worked in a pub. I think I got £2 a week. I worked in a bar when I was 13. I left when I was 17. I was a barman at 17. And I never met the man again ever in my life. I'm about to track him down. He's living in Cardown. He owns a pub in Cardown.
Lovely.
Yeah. And he's in great form. And I tracked him down. I spoke him on the phone. And I'm going to go down and see him in the next week or two.
Lovely.
Yeah. But anyway, so there you go.
I'll give you one. To be out playing.
Right. I'll give you one last question. So what's your go-to excuse when you bump into someone you kind of know but don't want to talk to? That's from Anne. So if you bumped into Calvin on the street and you said, oh God, I should really stop and talk to this lad, but I want to keep going. What's your go-to excuse?
I have an appointment. I'm on the way to an appointment. You know what I mean?
But at 8:30 on a Friday night?
You're meeting somebody, isn't it? Like you're going to a meeting or an appointment. Like, do you know what I don't get? Because I do see when I'm walking through town, you know them people that stop you? Do you work for like the charities or whatever?
Yep.
Like, if you got a minute, everyone who's in town is in town for a reason.
Oh, shit.
Right? Do you know, we're all on the way somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're picking the worst part of the world to stop and ask people if they got a minute. Because I'd be looking at them, and then sometimes the odd time you'd catch them talking to someone, I'm like, how did you get stung talking to them?
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing just walking uptown to kill time?
Yeah.
So, like, if I had a half an hour to spare, Siobhan, and I'm at home, I'm not leaving the house. I have to do something in a half an hour, right? I'm not leaving the house. You haven't got time to kill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You chill out. You might put something on the telly. You'd literally chill out for half an hour. You have a cup of coffee. You wait around or whatever. I'm not going, do you know what? I'll take a walk to the shops just for the crack. Fuck that.
Calvin, I went out one night too. I do go out for a bit of grub. I always have 2 pints of stout before it, right? Get a little appetizer. I went into Moyos. 2 pints of stout, a table built across the road. Fella comes over, puts a pint of glass of Guinness down with me and Caroline, right? And I goes, fuck's sake, right? And a lovely bloke. So next of all, he's talking. Next of all, a pint in the glass comes off someone else. Now, we wouldn't drink pints anyway. I ended up never got to the restaurant. And about 6 points, I'm talking about Cabra, and kind of standing there like that, right? So he goes, says, Rod, that was the worst night I've ever had in my life, ever. I said, it'll never happen again. I walked into another pub about 6 months later, and I'm sitting at the counter, and a half a pint gets put in front of me, right? And the barman says, so-and-so, the same mountain head that jumped on me in my house, so-and-so is at the senior from the bar. He's on his way around. Put his point down. He comes around, puts his coat on my still. I said, what are you doing? What? I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm not ordering you a drink. I don't want a drink. He says, I'm not coming out with you tonight. He says, I'm coming out with Caroline. I said, the last time I met you, I was with you for 3 hours, I said, and I was listening to bleeding crap, you know. I says, I'm not doing it tonight. Yeah, I'll be with that. I said, I'm serious. And here's Carolyn. Rod, stop, please. Stop, will you? I said, no. I'm not having it. And that's the end of it. He hasn't spoke to me since. about 8 years ago. Oh, he's a
I'm
nice
not surprised.
Chap. No, he's a nice chap, don't get me wrong. But he was a nuisance to me. And I wanted to sit and talk. Like, we have a lot of kids in the house. You don't want to sit with Caroline and say, you're all right, and you are right, and blah, blah. Just have a little point.
That's your time together.
That's our little time.
Yeah.
In the restaurant, that's our little time. He just come over, puts his point down, puts his coat down, and orders me a drink that I didn't even want. So that's my answer to you. If I met someone on the street and say, how are you, pal? I haven't got time tonight. I'll talk to you. Yeah. Look.
You're not making an excuse up. You're just saying.
No point telling lies.
Yeah. It depends. Now, in fairness, Siobhan, I'd really meet someone I wouldn't want to stop and talk to. You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head if I walked out with Mark Coney house now and seen them, I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake. I'd say, what's the story? What, they've been doing a podcast, and I'd tell them, Roddy Collins is in, tell them a situation, and I'm going home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If they want to stop and talk, I'll have a little conversation and I'm going.
Met a fella at the Book Awards, the what you call it? The GPO Book Awards, what you call it?
The Ampost.
Ampost Book Awards. I'm after him. I'm after him 15 years, right? I sees him and he sees me and I blanked him, right? And then I seen he was with his wife who was pregnant, so I said, no, I wouldn't do that. So I went over and I said, oh, I didn't know it was you, blah, 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 blah. Right? I'm going to get him because you know what he done? When I was on my knees, and I was on my knees, by the way, he was sneering at me, and I caught him. Right? A fella in the stand, the chairman of another club, shouted down to him something, right? And here he was, about me, and I caught him. He doesn't know I caught him. You know what I mean? But if his wife hadn't been women pregnant, he'd have gone,
yeah,
don't talk to me, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I tell you why I don't like you. Because when I was on my knees, and I was a lamp stuck, you thought it was funny, did you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I will tell him. No deal.
So don't cross don't fucking Roddy Collins.
Ah, no, come here. I do want for anyone, Calvin.
Yeah, of course you would, yeah.
One thing in my long life on this planet I've learned, kindness and stupidity. Right? You can be the kindest person in the world, but that kindness can be taken by people that think you're an owl eejie. And the minute that happens, they're finished.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, Roddy.
That all right, is it?
Yeah, absolute pleasure, mate. Honestly, I said that.
I'm
the
only
start.
Running because I have to give me a card to my son. He's bringing his mates training.
And he might be clamped.
I won't be clamped.
If you're clamped, don't ring me.
No, I'm all right,
ring
seven.
Me. Ring me. Yeah, it's all
okay.
No, but I said at the start, Roddy, I rang you the other night and you went, yeah, where no and problem. When? And you were straight in. Mr. Reliable.
Calvin, I don't forget, 4 maybe years ago, right, when you brought me on. And that helped me, by the way, a lot. It did, you know. So, you don't forget.
Thanks very much, Roddy. I appreciate that. You know. Right, that's it for this week. Thanks very much, everybody. Take us out, Siobhan.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Work it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The Hypnotizer.